Hey everyone, welcome to the Grabs Podcast. I'm your host today. My name is Grant. With me, I got Lieutenant Aaron Kowal. He works for St. George Fire Department in Louisiana. And today we're going to be talking about a grab they made on June 14th, 2023. So Aaron, welcome to the show. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your fire department?
Hey Grant, thanks for having me. Yeah, my name is Aaron Kowal. I've been in the fire service for about 9 years now. Full-time at St. George. I've worked part-time at a couple other departments, both doing fire and EMS work as a paramedic also. My department, we cover about 86 square miles, eight stations. We're averaging about 12,000 runs a year right now with, we usually have about 45 people on staff in a given day.
And then what are you guys getting on a regular alarm, like a structure fire for a house? What's that response matrix look like?
So we do a lot of mutual aid. We're in the Baton Rouge metro area. If it's just solely in our district, you're going to get three engines, a ladder company, and a squad, along with we'll send a non-transport medic unit and a battalion chief.
What's a squad in your region of the country?
So our squads are kind of like a mix. It's a little bit of heavy rescue, a little bit of hazmat. We have a pump on ours, so we can act as a first in engine if needed. We try not to, but do a little bit of everything.
And then what's your staffing look like on a rig?
Right now we're maintaining about three people on all the engines. Sometimes four. Right now we're trying to keep it mandatory at four. On our squads, we're running three.
And then talk to me about your search culture. Who's doing the searches on the fires, and what's your like average fire scene look like?
So since I moved over here on the squad in our first in area, usually we try to handle the searches with the engines. Outside of this station, a lot of times that second in engine is performing searches. When I started, the culture wasn't great. We were learning that textbook method. We were on all fours, crawling slowly, being really thorough. But we've had some really good information come down to South Louisiana the past couple of years, and we've really upped our search culture. We're a lot faster and more aggressive with our searches.
What do those searches look like? Are you guys splitting two and two? Are you splitting within BES oriented? What's that all look like for you guys?
A lot of oriented and VES searches where we are. It kind of is captain dependent. Everything in my experience has been oriented and VES.
Nice. All right, take us to June 14th, 2023. Let's talk about this run.
Yeah, so we were, I was on an engine company. We were out getting breakfast. It was around about 8 in the morning. And call came in for a structure fire in the city of Baton Rouge. So, you know, we took off. Smoke visible from a couple miles away. First engine got on scene, declared it a working fire. We got there. We were second up. And you could see visible flames on the Delta side. It's a fourplex. So first floor and second floor were obviously burning. And right when we got off the truck, you could see it start kind of blowing out the eaves. So where we're at, we don't do a whole lot of pre-assigned work. We pulled up. Baton Rouge had a battalion chief on scene already that showed up with that first driving engine. So he asked us to do a primary search. So we hit the door for this particular apartment. I can't remember. They're all lettered apartments, but on the first floor. And there weren't reports of anybody trapped. In fact, people were saying that the family was gone. Everybody was at work. So we started doing an oriented search in the first rooms. It was a living room apartment building. Opened up right into a living room, and we got in, zero visibility, and my captain was doing an oriented search with us. So me and my firefighter, we got just a couple feet in, and right off the bat, there's just foot furniture everywhere, crap. So we kind of made the calls like, hey, how about you go to the right around all this, stay around it, hit that wall, and we'll meet over there in the hallway. My captain could identify a hallway with a tick. I was like, I'll go over all this crap. So I crawl over the couch. We're in verbal contact. We're not too far. My captain is looking with the tick. He doesn't see anything. I felt a door. I remember when I felt the door, I looked up and I saw some light, and it looked like the smoke was just volatile and moving. And I got up to it, and the heat had looked like it had broken the window a little bit, or it had been broken. I don't know. I don't know why it sticks out. So I was searching, and I kept hitting furniture. Kept hitting furniture. There's a flipped over table. I grabbed a table leg, and I'm searching. I'm going. I'm looking. I can tell. I got about a foot of visibility. I can tell it's a table. All right. So I kept hitting these table legs. All of a sudden, I hit one, and it didn't feel. It felt like a weird table leg. So I grabbed it, and I don't know why it kind of like put the hair on the back of my neck up, you know? So then when I ran up, I put my face down really low, and all I saw was about a 9-year-old kid agonally breathing. So I was like, oh man. It hits you quick, you know? So I look at my captain. I wish I could tell you I gave this beautiful report of a finding a victim, but it sounded like a lot of caveman noises and a victim. I'm going. I'm going. So my captain's like, just go and I'll handle the radio traffic. So we grabbed him. I saw my firefighter on the other side. He gave me a hand. We kept this kid's head really low. Tried to keep it where that thermal below that thermal layer so he could breathe. Got out. We ran to an EMS unit. The EMS unit was parked about a third of a mile away. Ran into there, and they transported him from there. When we cleared from that assignment, they assigned us to go search again because they had reports of another kid trapped. But luckily, that he wasn't there. The second one wasn't there. But that was pretty much it.
So it kind of sounded like you didn't really expect to find a kid. And
No,
once
you
you
know.
found you found them, it was kind of that shock factor, like what's this?
Yeah, it's my department is great about training, you know. So I guess it's one of those things that's just I never expected it to happen, and then it happens, and luckily you train on it enough to where that just takes over.
So talk about the you hit a little bit on the victim removal. How big would you say the kid was?
He had to be just around 80 to 90 pounds, maybe.
Were you able to do the removal by yourself, or did you need assistance?
Yes, so I just scooped him up. I let everybody know where I was going, and I in my head, all I wanted to do was get him to fresh air. So I kept his head low, and we boogied. When I turned around, I could see the light from the door that we had entered. So I kind of was able to just beeline it back around where I had sent my firefighter. It's a lot clearer. So I just ran that path and we were out in seconds.
I'm trying to think what else on here. So timing wise, how long do you think this took from arrival to finding the victim to victim out?
Can tell you, hold on 1 second. So we arrived. Of course, this is going to be slow. Between our arrival and hitting the door was right at a minute. So right at a minute, we're hitting the door, getting ready to search. And the kid came out approximately 2 minutes later. Or that's when the radio traffic went out that he was found. So right after 2 minutes, we're probably exiting with them.
Man, that's awesome. Just matching up so good with all the info from Firefighter Rescue Survey that, it's happening quick and
Yeah.
it's out, really illustrates why we need to try to dial in those drills at the five, certainly no more than 10 minute mark. The old days of doing a search drill where it was taking you 20 or 30 minutes and you go through a whole bottle. That's just not what we're seeing on the fire ground. So that's awesome.
Absolutely. And you know, when I was texting you earlier, I have a rookie over here right now, and we're about to go train on searches. And maybe it's an unpopular opinion, maybe it's not, but when it comes to these primary searches, I don't really believe that technique comes first. I kind of feel like speed comes first, because in my head, I want to cover that whole house, and then we'll dial in the fine touches afterwards. Because there's just, at least down here, it's been really hard to break that aggressive speed into people when it comes to primary searches. And a lot of it looks more like secondaries, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's a good point. We're looking for human beings that are a certain size, not Easter eggs. And we can be a little bit more slow and methodical on that secondary, but just occupying space. If they're in there and we spread out, we're gonna be. So that's cool that this backed that up. So you have this run just about a year ago. What has changed with your mindset, with your department's mindset, the crews that you work with, what's changed post this run?
Well, I know in my circle of friends, I guess it's a lot. It's real now. You see it. And we had a big hiring build up around the time I got hired. So a lot of my peers, we were like, okay, like this is the real deal if this happens. It reinforced a lot of that change in search culture we had, which is kind of why I gravitated to reaching out to you. Is what, like I said, when I started, we were not aggressively searching. Looking back, it was planning on it being a recovery mission, not a rescue. So it kind of reinforced that new culture we have. And it kind this is a, such a strange small thing, but it kind of reinforced to me why we orient on those walls. Because imagine what you'd do if you woke up and you couldn't see. Like, how would you orient yourself? You would find a wall and you would walk the wall. Where we found this kid, I went and I looked back, and I took some pictures where he was, and you could tell that he had come out of his bedroom. He was following that wall, and it looked like he just knocked all the furniture over, and he was covered up by stuff. It wasn't obvious that those first incoming engine crews, I mean, they couldn't have seen him unless they were on top of him digging for him practically, So it kind of just reinforced how people can get into those hard to find situations.
Dang. I wasn't sure you were going slow and talking about when furniture was flipped over and stuff. And I'm kind of waiting for the punchline. Like, was this a robbery? Was this something like that? And it wasn't until you just said it looked like he came out and was trying to exit and people do stupid things and knock over. So hopefully that might clue somebody in. If furniture looks out of place, maybe there's somebody in there
So
that can't get out.
when I went and looked back at it after the fire was out, it was ventilated and everything. It wasn't that much stuff. It looked like what honestly happened. It looked like that the first engine crew came in, knocked that couch over, and with between that and the kid knocking the table over, it just put stuff everywhere. You know, it made it a cluster.
So
So
good.
another thing I like pointing out with these new guys that come through. I'm lucky our department has a pretty good budget between training and equipment. We're running newer FLIR cameras. We do a lot of training on them. So when we went and looked back, my captain was we were curious why I didn't see anything on the camera. Well, that kid was behind a knocked over glass table. So that glass table just reflected back at him. So he wasn't able to see anything.
Wow.
But things I like reinforcing. You know, my rookie's going to take a tick class tomorrow, and I love a tick. I love using a tick. You kind of have to remember your old school quote unquote techniques,
Yeah, no
because
doubt.
it's just a tool.
No doubt. Well, shoot, Aaron. This is probably the fastest we've ever done one. I think you literally texted me like 2.5 hours ago, and we made this happen quickly. So it's not that difficult. It don't always line up like that, but we're not making some big production appointments and stuff like that. It's two dudes talking on the phone, and I want to hear the story and be able to share it with everybody. So I appreciate you reaching out to me. I know I took away some stuff from this. And just encouraging the listeners, get out there, do aggressive searches, pay attention to what's going on in the fire service. Get on firefighter rescue survey. If you find a victim or do have a grab, make sure somebody in your department is reporting that. And then the best thing you can ever do is just share what you did. We're not giving out awards here, but we can certainly learn from every grab because we can't be on every fire. So we're gonna wrap it up, but until next time, get out there and stay aggressive.